Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. This morning's scriptures resound with good news. In them we hear that we were created to be the sheep of the Good Shepherd, to the end that we may be eternally secure in his own arms, and thus offer him lives full of praise and thanks. I will say it again because it sounds too good to be true. We have been made to be God's sheep, secure sheep, singing sheep, forever and ever. Can you believe it? The people Jesus talks to in John 10, as we just heard, had a hard time believing this truth. And if we are honest, I think we all struggle with believing such wonderful news. I most certainly do. Nevertheless, the goodness of the shepherd surpasses the skepticism of his sheep. And this morning he wants to reassure each one of us that we were made for him, to be his and his alone. In the middle of Psalm 100, verse 3, we are summoned to know that the Lord, he is God. The Lord God of Israel, he is the one true God, and there is no one like him. He is the maker of heaven and earth, and all of us are his creatures. Yet not all are his people. Only those who know Israel's Lord as their God can enjoy this blessing. God made Israel his special people through the Exodus, and he makes us his own people through baptism into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the new Exodus. Just as Israel was redeemed from slavery, we have been redeemed from sin and death, and therefore we're able and free to say with the psalmist, it is he, God, who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What a relief, what a joy. Before, we were so lost in darkness, we had no idea who we were. But now, we have seen the light, and blessed be God, we are his. Before, we were straying like lost sheep, but now, we have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Hallelujah! And we are the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 100 is a good psalm for us, Christians in the United States, who tend to base our identity on the amount of activities we do for God and his kingdom. This psalm teaches us to rest and rejoice in our God-given existence. We are God's people by his own doing. After all, it was he who made us, and not we ourselves. While we're certainly called to abound in good works, and our readings for today command us to do so in multiple of ways, we do not labor in order to belong to God. On the contrary, we practice good deeds because we are already His through the blood of Jesus Christ. Each time I come across this Psalm 100, I remember a conversation I had my freshman year of college with the resident assistant on my floor. One day we were having breakfast and we were just talking about how things were going so far in the semester, and I told him that I did not want to lose my devotional life in the midst of my studies. I was a little worried that the busyness of college would distract me from growing in the Lord. In response, he agreed with my concern, but then he added something that I will never forget. "Stephen, you are His." Those words engrave God's grace upon my heart for the rest of my life, and I pray they have the same effect upon you today. Brothers and sisters, whatever it may be you're struggling with this morning, either worry or pain, sickness, uncertainty, or weariness, the Good Shepherd is also calling you by name, and He wants you to hear His voice loud and clear. You are mine. As we see in John 10, Christ's sheep hear His voice. He knows them intimately, and they follow Him gladly. Well, at least most of the time. Even the sheep of Christ's flocks are prone to wander from Him. If we are not careful, we can easily drift away from the path of the Good Shepherd and seek in vain the dead ends of our own ways. False voices then tell us about better pastures where no obedience is required, where we can become our own shepherds and choose for ourselves the course of our lives. Or so we are told. But in reality, apart from the guidance of the shepherd, all ends up in chaos and destruction. Nevertheless, Christ does not give up on us, and He continually calls us back to His fold through His word. Since today is also Mother's Day, I thought I would include a few references to some significant maternal figures in church history, not counting my mother, obviously, who's at the top of the list. The first one is Saint Teresa of Avila, a Spanish nun and reformer from the 16th century, who served as a spiritual mother to countless people. In one of her books, Teresa describes to her spiritual daughters how Christ, in His wonderful mercy, calls distracted souls back to Himself. Like a good shepherd, with a whistle so gentle that even they themselves almost fail to hear it, He makes them recognize His voice and stops them from going so far astray so that they will return to their dwelling place. This whistle is so powerful, claims Teresa, that the sheep immediately abandon whatever kept them from the Lord in order to be reunited with Him. And it is here, gathered in His faithful arms, that we find perfect security and protection. As we read in Psalm 100, verse 5, "Our shepherd is a good God. He is not a cold or heartless leader, but one who makes us feel safe in His presence. He is completely reliable and trustworthy. His love is steadfast and sure, and it endures forever, not only when it is convenient to Him, or when we think we deserve it, but always. Likewise, His faithfulness lasts to all generations. It does not run out." Sometimes I get a little frustrated when I hear Christians complain about how secular forces are going to ruin the future of the church. The church's future is secure in God's unchanging faithfulness, which endures to every generation, regardless of how godless it may be. What Jesus said about His sheep in John 10 is true today and will continue to be so until He comes again. "I give them," present tense, eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Jesus persistently gives eternal life to his people, and this does not just mean very long lives or a ticket into heaven after death. No. Eternal life, as Jesus defines it in John 17, means to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. The eternal life Jesus shares with his sheep is none other than the life he has eternally enjoyed with the Father. This is the very same life we receive at communion as we hear every Sunday, the body of Christ keep you in everlasting life. All who partake of this life will never perish. Nothing nor anyone will steal them from the shepherd's hands. Human life is a precious gift, one that most people esteem very highly and thus attempt to preserve in all kinds of ways. Buying insurance policies, staying fit, eating vegetables, not taking risks, etc. Since I recently became a father, I have felt the weight of being responsible for my daughter's life and security. Yet there is only so much I can do to protect her. There are so many factors outside of my control I can do nothing about. Life is very fragile and unpredictable. And this world is full of dangers, deadly diseases, natural catastrophes, corrupt politicians, criminals. I was going to say bikers, but after meeting Tony, I have changed my mind. And so forth. Joking aside, just a couple of weeks, I was out with Pastor Jason walking around the village doing our prayer walk. And we ran into some kids from the neighborhood who told us that that morning, someone in a car had tried to snatch a kid waiting for the school bus. Thankfully, the kid got away and nothing happened. Yet, these are the type of situations we are susceptible to in a world plagued by evil powers, where the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But God so loved the world that he sent his only son into the world to grant his sheep life in abundance. That is, a full life which cannot be taken away, imperishable, indestructible, unconquerable, because the Father is greater than all. He is superior to the mightiest demon, stronger to the worst evildoer, more powerful than the most lethal illness, and no one can snatch us out of his hand. So, you dwell in the safest place in the universe, in between the Father and the Son. And because the Father and the Son are one, you are eternally secure in their oneness. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The burial service in the prayer book beautifully captures this truth. In the prayer of commendation, the officiant asks God to welcome the departed into his hands as a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. I think many of us are familiar with these words. I was especially struck by this prayer when I heard Archbishop Duncan recite it at the memorial service of Blanche Rogers. Even at the hour of death, Anglicans confidently affirm that God's sheep cannot be separated from him. And since we will be forever his, even through the valley of the shadow of death. It is our joyful duty, as long as we have breath, to offer him lives full of thanks and praise. As followers of the Good Shepherd, we are expected to give him perpetual praise for who he is, faithful, good, one with the Father, and for all that he has done for us, making us his people and sheep, granting us eternal life, caring and providing for our deepest needs. Worship is not an option for God's sheep, but the very reason why we exist, and as we sang earlier, the very reason why we are here. Psalm 100 makes this absolutely clear. It includes 7 imperative verbs that command total adoration. Make a joyful noise, serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing, enter his gates with thanksgiving, give thanks to him, bless his names. And all of these verbs resolved around the earlier already mentioned call to know that the Lord, he is God. Sometimes we get so hung up trying to figure out every single detail of God's will for our lives. Where will I live? What will my next job be? How will I pay for this bill? That we forget that his overall plan for our lives includes that we bless his name at all times, regardless of our circumstances. Christ's sheep best hear his voice when they walk in the path of praise and grace on his pasture with gratefulness. It is indeed by serving the Lord daily and rejoicing in his presence that he shows us the way forward. Susanna Wesley was a woman who lived a life defined by persistent praise in 18th century England. As some of you might know, she was the mother of John and Charles Wesley. I believe earlier we sang a hymn by Charles Wesley. In addition to being their mother, she was the mother of 17 other children, many of which died in infancy. Susanna encountered all sorts of challenges throughout her life. Her husband's poor financial choices caused her family to live in extreme poverty, and her entire home burned down twice. She was responsible for the education of all her children, ran the house, and was engaged in endless tasks and chores. However, none of this deterred Susanna from constantly praising her shepherd. According to John Wesley, his mother was always employed in an abundance of temporal business, yet she never suffered anything to break in upon her stated hours of retirement, her time of prayer, which she sacredly observed from the age of 18 to 72, her whole life. As you might expect with so many children, her house was continually busy and full of noise. I only have one, and it's already like that, so I can't imagine. Susanna would often sit down and pull her apron over her head as a sign to her children to be quiet while she prayed. Try and see if that works out. As part of her children's routine, they began and closed each academic day by singing a song. Praying a psalm, by the way, at the start and the end of the day, is a very practical way of applying what we're talking about. On July 20th of 1742, Susanna fell asleep in the arms of her good shepherd. Her children gathered together around her bed and sang a psalm of praise as she passed, just as she had asked them to do. Susanna Wesley distinctly embodies what it means to live a life of praise, worshiping the Lord at all times. As sheep of Jesus Christ, as those who are gloriously his and will be eternally secure in his own arms, we too, like Susanna, have the opportunity to surrender the abundant life we have been given by singing and serving our good God till the end of our days. And as we do so, we pray for those who are not yet His, that they would be won over by the goodness of the Good Shepherd, who graciously stretched out His arms on the hard wood of the cross, that none may perish. Psalm 100, after all, is a missional psalm which summons the whole world to join in the worship of the one true God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Let us do just this as we come to the Lord's table. Amen.